for the R2000 finale. We are recognizing that Krishna is a person who has transcendental senses. In this material world, if you love someone, you want to give that person sense gratification. If you want to please someone, you please their senses. In this world, though, these senses are a network of paths leading to death. In this world, yehi samsparasya bhoga bhuka jona eva deyatyam sabanta kumiteya nadeya shudamayi. That the pleasures that are derived between the senses and their objects are the sources of all pain and misery and bondage. So we read in Gita, just like the banyan tree that is sitting on the lake bank. Its reflection is of opposite nature. What is the bottom of the tree is the top of the reflection upon the lake. So similarly, this material world is a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. In the material world, the senses are a network of paths leading to death. The more we try to feed our senses, the more they become hungrier with lust, like feeding a fire fuel. But we read in the Shastra, Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchit Ananda Vigra. This Krishna's form is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. It is of a pure spiritual substance. And that each of his senses are interchangeable with each of his other senses. In other words, he can taste with his eyes. He can hear with his tongue. He can see with his feet. Every limb is interchangeable with the others. And in the spiritual world, the principle of bhakti means to give pleasure to Krishna, to recognize that he is a person, and dedicate our lives as an offering for his pleasure. So what the Aarti ceremony is, it is a meditation of offering our entire life to Krishna through offering these various items for his pleasure. It is not the item itself that gives Krishna pleasure, but it is the love, it is the devotion in which it is offered. So recognizing Krishna as a person, we want to please each of his senses. And what we are doing is we are offering the basic elements of the creation in his loving service. What are the five elements? Umir, apo, nalo, vayu, kama, no, buddhir, eva, sham. There is the earth, water, fire, air, and ether. And these are the five most basic elements, and everything within the creation is simply composed of a combination of these five pure material elements. So what we are doing when we are offering arti is we are taking the five most basic material elements and offering them in love and devotion for the pleasure of Krishna's senses. First, we invoke auspiciousness by blowing the conch shell. Explain in the Bhagavatam how the senses respond to the objects of the senses. sound is the sense is carries through ether. It is the subtlest of all the gross senses, ether. And through sound, by offering the ether, through the blowing of the conch shell, by offering the ether, the space, we are giving pleasure to Krishna's ears. Next, we offer incense. Incense is simply pure incense, is the herbs of the earth. We are taking the earth element in its sweetest form, and we are offering it in love and devotion for the Lord's pleasure of smell. And then when we take the deep, the ghilam, we are taking the element of fire. And the pure, unalloyed, unadulterated element of fire, and we are offering it for the pleasure of Krishna's vision, of his sight, his eyes. And then we are taking the water. Water is another of the pure elements. We are taking that water and we are offering it to Krishna for the pleasure of his taste. And then we take, of course, the handkerchief, and we utilize that because after you offer someone water, it is used to wash him and for him to wash his feet to taste. It is to, like, as courtesy to dry the sense of touch. And the handkerchief is to offer for the sense of touch. And then we offer the chamara as well as the peacock. We are offering air. We are offering the Lord the pure element of air with love and devotion for his sense of touch. When you fan someone, it gives pleasure to that person's sense of touch. So in this way, we are offering the five basic material elements for the pleasure of the five senses of the Lord. And it is all being done in a mood, in a spirit of love, of devotion. And really what we are doing is we are offering our heart to Krishna through these items of paraphernalia for his pleasure. It should be a meditation like this. Through this incense, my Lord, I am offering you the beautiful fragrances for you to enjoy. And I am offering all of my heart's love and devotion through this incense for your pleasure. And each of the items should be done in this way. Arti is a very, very deep, sublime, mystical meditation if it is done properly. It's not just a ritual. It is a very, very direct and sublime method of completely focusing our entire consciousness as an offering of love to Krishna. Can I ask you a question? You should keep totally, well, no, either way. The way Srila Prabhupada originally taught us is if nobody else is there to sing kirtan, we should be singing kirtan for the deities while we are offering the arti. Of course, now here in Bombay, we're very modern, high tech, we just put a tape recorder on and we'll be silent. But in the old days, we used to always sing. I was pujari at Radha Vrindavan Nath Mandir for many, many years. We never had these tape recorders with all nice tapes. So I offered all six artis a day, except evening arti. Of course, devotees were there to sing the Gaur arti, and Mangal arti devotees were there to sing Mangal arti. But the other artis, I had special bhajan that I would sing every day, the same bhajan for that arti. And we'd always end with Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Kahuna Panam, we are going to get our Hashivashi Gauri Bhaktam in any Mahamantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. When we put the breakfast offering, I would sing, Viva Vani Sesha Halo Kato Vesha. That song, I knew them all by memory. Nunarchi, we would chant the while they were taking prasad, I would go outside of the temple and I would sing Bhaja Bhakata Vasala Sri Gaurahari Sri Gaurahari Sohi Gosta Vihari. The whole song followed. It was very strict standard. We could not offer them Raj Bhog prasad without Pujari going into the temple room while the whole time he was taking prasad, I would be singing that song. That song is meant to be sang when he's taking Raj Bhog. And then for the Arati, we would sing these holy places of Vrindavan. Jaya Jaya Krishna Jaya Vrindavan. Sri Govinda Gopinath Madhu Namo. And then for the flora clock offering, we would sing Yasomati Nandana Vrajavara Naga Gopula Vandana. And the clock off Arati. It was many years ago. But in this way, it was only me all day. So we entered, tried to give pleasure to the Lord while we were offering these articles to sing these different beautiful bhajans for pleasure. And even later on, we did get a small tape recorder, but we would never use it because we were thinking, what kind of bhakti does this tape recorder? I mean, I may not have much bhakti, but at least I'm alive. And according to the Shastra, even when other people are singing, or when some other music is going for the kirtan and arti, there are these mula mantras that we often teach to you. Om Guru Ve Namaha, Om Param Guru Ve Namaha, Kling Janabida Palabaya Namaha, Kling Goraya Namaha, Sri Ram Radhikaya, Sri Krishna. We should chant those mantras before offering each article to the deity.
These mantras should be chanted continuously while in the
presence. It should be chanted just before we offer the article.
Generally, if there is a choice, if we can sing or the prayer, we should prefer that we sing.
That's your right to do that. Either one is good.
Depending on the
idea. It just depends on what standard you want to have. What's best for preaching. Our music should be very nice. Maybe Kardama Muni should have a tape, but obviously. Whatever. If the pujari is singing sweetly with devotion, that is very nice. If it's better for preaching when people come, that there's nice tape in the background, and whatever is best for preaching. This is our temple is a preaching center. You have to understand that up at Vrindavan, I was the only one there to hear besides the deities, and the deities were very merciful. But because so many guests are coming, whatever the devotees feel is nicest for preaching, that we should do. Either way is perfect.
For this Vrindarati,
Vrindarati, you've seen those two standards of the Ramasamita. Ah, yes. That we would always do. That I didn't even mention that. Because for that arti, we would always have the Ramasamita text. The
at the Radha Krishna temple tape. Prabhupada wanted that tape to be played in every temple for the greeting of the deities.
I was reading somewhere that another explanation for this arati is compared to the childhood of Lord Krishna, only Yashoda Krishna Charita can't help him. And I've forgotten because I read it long time back. Each stage of the arati corresponds to some particular activity.
No doubt there are many explanations according to different angles of vision.
Is
that person's bhava is genuine, then it's bona fide. No doubt. There are several explanations. I'm giving you a very, very basic one. It's like if you give somebody something to drink, and then after you give them a towel, or you wash their feet, and then afterward you wipe their feet. Yes, you should think that you are wiping the feet if you are drying the feet of the Lord. When you're offering the article, you're supposed to look at the parts that you're offering.
And then
you're
offering
the face, yeah, definitely. But every article, you begin at the feet and gradually go to the face. You never go look directly at the face.
If
you're looking at his feet, how can you offer to his face? You might miss. Yeah. You're not doing it for your pleasure looking at his face. You're looking at his face so that you can properly offer this article. Huh? Yes?
Every morning, just before the Bhagavatam, we sing this Jai Radha Madhava.
Many bhajans. There are many, many, many tapes of Prabhupada's bhajans. But before Srimad Bhagavatam, he would only chant Jai Radha Madhava. And that was the standard that he personally established. And he asked in every temple that it be done like that. So that is why we are doing it. Prabhupada was very fond of that song. He said that song is a picture, is a window into the spiritual world. That everything and everyone is there. Such a beautiful song. This is the most beautiful names of Krishna. Radha Madhava, Kunja Bihari, Gopijana Balava, Vidivara Dhari, Yashoda Nandana, Raja Jana Ranjana, Jamuna Pira, Balachari. Huh? They are just Bhaktivinoda has just taken these beautiful names of Krishna, which give a full picture of Vrindavan, and made it into one song. So, I would say it's better if you just perform the austerity of meditating on each beautiful name of Krishna that's being sung in that song.
curb your restless mind. Perhaps your mind has become so complicated by all of these Sanskrit mantras that you cannot be content with just some simple names of Krishna anymore. In this case, you are destined for Vaikuntha. But if you want to redirect yourself to Vrindavan, Vrindavan, you have to be content with the simple names of Krishna. Does everyone have that problem that you have?
I heard about 4 years back what these two here is to sing a bhajan from the Sangha and then Jai Radha Madhava.
That's all right.
Now because we are shorting of time, so we can't do that. Otherwise, we couldn't do that.
It's nice if we sing bhajan from Sangha. But Jai Radha Madhava should be sung. Simply because it's so pleasing to Prabhupada. And it reminds us. Even if you've been dozen, it's you got a lot of it before everybody was in class. They sing it in English. English translation, but still they sing before everybody was in class. At New Vrindavan, they sing bhajans every morning, different ones. After Bhagavatam practice, they sing one bhajan. Of course, they're English hymns. But still, they have a whole variety and they sing different ones each day. What they do is the Rishikesh, who's in charge of the music department, according to what the class is talking about, they choose a bhajan that corresponds as closely as possible to that. And they put it on an overhead projector. And then there's a movie screen above the altar that they move about. Above the altar, you know? And outside. Like when we have Lord Chaitanya and dancing and his many manifestations. At that place, they have a movie screen. And they have an overhead projector and they put the words with different bhajans. They call them Germans. So that's how they do that. It would be nice to sing bhajan.
See, now we have the songbook and only don't know.
We could do after class. Reading of the duties. But our devotees are not so much there at that time. We have Guru Puja. Hmm? Can we say that? No. No, huh? It's wonderful.
There was some discussion earlier about having these prayers in the 5 minutes between the Japan and Mandala. But somehow it didn't work out.
The Guru Charana Padma?
Why are you offering it?
It shouldn't be a rush like that.
It's too short a time.
It should be sung with instruments. You can have a very short Guru Puja.